Praise God that I finally got through the Fort Knox all the way around, that you had locked all the way around the building, and finally found the front doors. And I thought I was going to hear Randy's Sunday school class, so guess I missed that blessing too. So, and the best part was I had my stuff in the way I had them the last time when I preached here and was in keynote, and he goes, "Oh, I need that in PowerPoint." So we were converting back there. Not Christians, but truly PowerPoint for our message today. I had to send it back to PowerPoint. And so it's good to see you guys. Good to be with you. Some of you go, "Well, he's really casual." Can I tell you something? I was on church staff for 28 years, if you count my part-time stint. Guess what? I don't like khakis. I don't like slacks. I wear stretchy jeans. Amen? How many of you are there with me? All right. I don't know who invented them, but praise God they did. All right. So I love, and miss the opportunity to preach and teach and stuff like I used to be able to all the time. This right here is, oh man, I don't even know how to say it. Like, just, I was talking to a pastor that whenever Jenny put up the, whatever you call it, flyer on Facebook or whatever, and I liked it, and of course, I've been a youth pastor for so long, I have a lot of friends. I don't know where they are, and they're all over the world, but I got a lot of friends. So I put it out there, and well, they're not real friends, by the way. We'll talk about that this afternoon. I'm just kidding. So, but I put it up there. Well, when a pastor, he called me and he goes, "Hey, I didn't know you weren't on church staff full time anymore and blah, blah. Why are you doing this, that?" And I was talking to him and I was trying to explain to him how full my heart is. How full my heart is. Because when God gives you a new journey and a new destination and you are scared to death, but you walk through it, and you start to see how he can work and move and grow. Amen. Oh my gosh. And I'm gonna talk to y'all, some of you this afternoon, about that. Some of you are transitioning different seasons of your life. And my prayer is that you don't go, "Well, that's for someone else." Mental health in the church is terrible. Oh yeah. I said it. Mental health in the church is terrible. And part of this message today is called, "I Am Broken." That is the title. Good, he got it up there. He said, it may be a little late, but I am broken. I was a pastor on staff for 28 years. My name is Tim Martin, and I am broken. Every one of us are broken. And if we ever forget that, we need to go and we need to look at this passage that we're going to go over today to remind us of who and what we've been called to be, but yet we've been believing so many lies that are not from God. They're truly from the depths of hell. And we need to get people free again so churches can grow again. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you think today isn't for you, Mental Health Sunday, then you're sadly mistaken. If you see what I see walking in the doors, whether I have a satellite office now in Lawton, I see people there 2 days a week, I drive to Norman Behavioral Health Group, and I see people there 3 days a week, I teach high school students, college concurrent classes through OCCC on Mondays and Wednesday mornings, and I get to hear their stories, woo, I'm telling you. And I've heard it for so many years, but I can tell you this, one of the biggest groups that I'm seeing now, the VA. VA guys in Norman, 50s, 60s, 70s, that have been addicted, Christians, addicted to sin, struggle, hurt, pain, childhood injuries that they've been carrying, some of them, for decades. And they didn't know what was wrong. And to see men become the men of God again and begin to lead their wives and spend time with their wives. And because what had happened is they've become roommates instead of husband and wife. And let me tell you something. I get this all the time. Oh, I didn't realize you left ministry. And I look at that pastor usually and I said, how many people do you get to sit with every single day and tell them about how God can change their life? I saw a man that should be walking the aisle in my home church, who I've been able to do some counseling with, gave his life to Jesus Christ 3 weeks ago on a Zoom call because he forgot because of his PTSD issues. An amazing man. And hopefully he's going to be walking the aisle this morning in my home church. And I was going to walk with him, but I said, you know what? It's probably even better. You got to step out on your own and walk. And his wife, who's a beautiful lady, she's going to walk with him. She's already a believer. And it's going to be amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't pull out Christian curriculum. Whenever I sit with people and I talk with them in counseling, you know what I do? I quote scripture. And I don't even care if they know what it is. Most of them don't. I've heard that before. Where did that come from? Shut up and listen, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I don't say that. I say, did you ever think about this truth? And they're like, man, that would change my life. Did you ever think about this truth? That would change my life too. That's what God's word does, amen? And that did that to all the people throughout generations that we read about in this holy book that we are blessed to have a copy of. The people around the world are fighting for pages of what we have abundance of. So today, I am broken. The problem is we come to church and sometimes, flip that slide a little bit, that is what we do. Right? How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. What does fine mean? Angry. How many of those car rides on the way here? Whoo! You walk in the door and you're like, ah! Hi, Pastor. How you doing? Hello, Mr. Youth Pastor. I don't want anyone to know what. I have struggles. I have pain. I have heartache. I don't feel that I'm good enough. Some of you remember when I was here before, I told you just a little bit of my testimony. I grew up in a very strong Christian home, but I played sports. I was in many, many locker rooms all the way through college. I struggled. Why? Because the world, it'll do that to us. Luckily, I never got into the party drug scene. It never interested me. Probably because I had three uncles die of cirrhosis of the liver, and my grandpa and my another uncle die of cancer, lung cancer. My mom told me at 12, she goes, you want that? I said, no. She goes, well, just don't do that. Well, I caught that, but I struggled with many other things. It's called being human. But when we come in here, sometimes we're stressed. We're angry, we're dealing with all kinds of issues, and I'm just going to tell you, God did not design us to be hurt all the time. Emotionally, I'm done. Mentally, I'm drained. Spiritually, I'm dead. And physically, I smile. Anybody? Want to raise your hand on that one? For about an hour yesterday, that was me before my wife reminded me that, you know what? My grandpa was one of the smartest men I've ever met in my life. Lived to be 96 years old, passed away a few years back. He said, Tim, you can only do one thing at a time. Wow, what an epiphany that was. Worked in the oil field, named Bob Martin. Some of you probably know him. Robert Martin Sr. I look a lot like him, just a bigger, taller version. There's a Robert Martin in the middle that graduated from Duncan High School in 65, and Trevlin Martin, who was Trevlin Duncan. I was just very blessed. Very blessed. But with all of that family heritage, you can still go wayward. You can still, in the midst of, by the way, I never left the church. I have never really ever been out of the church probably in my life. Now, I have played church many years. I did that in my first 2 years of my college career. I called that my dark period because I would come home and I would put a smile on my face and tell my parents it was all was good, but you know what? I was lonely. There wasn't a lot of people like me in the locker room I went to. And had nothing to do with color. I just got introduced to a lot of culture that I hadn't been around a lot of. And I was lonely. And many days I was desperate. You can be a man of God, as David taught us in Psalm 51, which I'm going to ask you to turn to. Can be a man of God, the man after God's own heart, and you can make some big old mistakes. And you can sure wish that you'd done some things different. But you know what I try to get people to do? The Bible says to be the good farmer. Everybody hear me? You see this? Here. We look back to learn. That's the only reason we look back. We look back to learn. I'm getting in a little mental health stuff here. We look back to learn, not for shame, not for struggle, not for pain. If you've been forgiven of all those things, quit looking back at that. Amen or oh me. You look back to learn. You don't look back for all that junk. But too many days we get up, and that's what we do. We walk a road of shame and guilt and pain. And that is not how God intended us to live victorious lives. So, this morning, Psalm 51, this would be just whenever we know David had just made a historic decision that he had done amazing things for the kingdom of God. I was teaching a 10th grade boys Sunday school class years ago whenever I had a teacher that got sick. And I was teaching this class kind of as a fill-in, and it was, man, it had so many solid kids in it, a bunch of about 8 or 9 10th grade boys. Actually, times it had like 22 10th grade boys. It was really, really big group. And we were going through the life of David, and I'll never forget, one of the guys looked at me and goes, "Does he ever mess up?" I was like, "Oh, it's coming." Oh, it's coming. Because, you know, right? Whenever he was growing up, you were just like, man, he just continued to make the right choices because he was plugged into the right things. But when you forget what you should be doing, David was what? He was the warrior king. And what did David forget to do? Be a warrior for his heart. And keep being true to who God called him to be. And because he got lazy and was staying in and enjoying his stuff, he ended up having an adulterous affair. And we know through that adulterous affair with Bathsheba, what do we find? Lies, cover up. It's just amazing what we will do as Christians and even people after God's own heart, what we'll do so people won't know that we have problems. Remember, the issue is not that David sinned. Yes, it was bad. It was horrible. But the lengths he went to cover up his sin made it compound, compound, compound. And I find that is what is plaguing the church. Is we don't want people to know who we really are, because if we do, we're going to have to deal with the issues in our life. We know that David got so far down the road that he thought, I can't get Uriah to come home, sleep with his wife so he can say this is his child. So he ends up having him put on the front lines and killed. So he was complacent murder to the man's murder that basically he knew was going to happen, and he ordered him. And then what did he do? Oh, I can bring her into my fold. And then what did we see? God had to get Nathan the prophet, one of David's really good friends, to come and confront him. And praise God for friends that are willing to tell us the truth. I will tell you this. Greatest gifts you can have in your life are the people who will tell you the truth. And you need to surround yourself with those people. And that's what the church body is for, is to be a part of that. But also, some of you in here, you need to get in a small group. You need to find an accountability partner. You need to find some friends that will tell you the truth. 2 Samuel, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to kind of sum it up here before we get into Psalm 51. Just a reminder, Samuel comes to David, and what does he do? He tells him the story of the man who had all that he could have. He had all these livestock and everything, and what happened? He had a poor man, and he knew the poor man. He said, we're going to prepare a feast, and what did he do? Out of sacrifice, what did he do? He took the poor man's lamb instead of using one of his own, and he served it up to God. And what happened? Nathan was telling the story to David. Remember, David had many, many wives. David had no reason to be looking anywhere else. Okay? But when you become about you and not about him, what happens? Take our eyes off the prize, and what happens? We do things we wouldn't normally do with people we wouldn't normally do them with. And David's sitting here listening to that story, and he says, man, that dude needs to be taken out. And remember, what did Nathan say? You are that man. Have you ever found yourself there? I have. Because if you put those people in your life, that's what they're there for. And those hurt, by the way. They hurt, right? They hurt our pride. Sometimes they put us on the defensive. How dare you confront me about my sin? You got a big old plank in your eye. How dare you confront me about my sin? David didn't do that. David was like, okay, what happens here? I'm caught. There's no more lies. I can't do this anymore, right? I got to come clean. Psalm 51 was written out of that pain, that struggle. But hear me, church people. We are called to be salt and light, and we can't be salt and light if we are not pure, holy, usable vessels before God. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Man, that's what's killing our society today, is we think that we have to be perfect. God knew we couldn't be perfect. That's why he gave his son, Jesus Christ. But man, these words just should pierce your soul when you hear what happens. What does David say? Okay, sorry. I got so excited there. Move past. I want to talk real quickly about true repentance. Our zeal sometimes can be for evangelism, see people around us, but the problem is sometimes we don't understand that we are called to be the vessels with which the gospel is spread, and God desires true repentance from us. So when we are truly trying to be seen as the salt and light, we don't look hypocritical to the world with which we live. Well, if they want to find fault in you, by the way, they're going to. Okay? But who is your critic? Years ago, one of the greatest themes I ever did in all of my years as youth pastor was not even one that I came up with. Well, I stole it for later, but that's a whole different conversation. It was an FCA theme that I did when I spoke at FCA camp at OU one time. It's audience of one. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. You have an audience of one. And when you please him, you'll see that things are different. Our zeal for evangelism is great and is commanded, but we must not ever downplay, leave, or minimize true repentance that is brokenness over our sin or that will lead to a false salvation. Why? Because there is never really a true heart change. I'm not saying I don't ever do this. Depends on where they come, whenever they come, when they come into my office. Whenever you, some people go, oh my goodness, you're licensed by the state of Oklahoma and you presented the gospel in a counseling session. You know what I did? I say, do you guys want some freedom from this? If you ever want freedom from this, I don't mind telling you. Because they'll say, why are you happy? How can you find joy like that? How can you? And I said, listen, I am not absent of struggle. I just have somebody who walks through that struggle with me. And at some point I say, at any point, if you ever want to know about that, just let me know. And I keep using scripture. I use other things, but I use scripture. I use that. And you'll be surprised. I got to lead 3 individuals to Jesus Christ the last year in counseling sessions. And by the way, the second one was the college student of the man who just gave his life to Jesus Christ 3 weeks ago. I don't say that. I truly don't say that to brag in any way. I'm telling you straight up right now, those are God moments that whenever they ask, I'm like, oh, yeah. Right? Oh, yes, I have no problem giving you what I know will change your life. But many days we come to God broken with broken hearts that should be broken. But David recognized that where his heart had been when he committed adultery and proxy murder with Uriah after Nathan's confirmation. And verse 16 is just so incredible. Incredibly telling, but we're going to get to that. We're going to jump in Psalm 51. If you got your Bibles open, let's read real fast. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions, my sin. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew my right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with the willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness of God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, and you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion, and in your good pleasure build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be, then will you delight in the right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This is a really strange place to pray, but I'm going to pray. Because the next few moments, there's not going to be a ton said, but for some of you, it could be a life change. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for right now, this moment when we see a man who's so broken and understands his need for you. I know there's people in this room that are hiding sin and they're hiding struggle and they just hope somebody doesn't know and they're so nervous and struggling with life. They want to look like they have it all together, but in the very end, they know they don't. God, I pray that you'll bring hope and peace and comfort to all of our hearts in a way that only you can today. And God, if somebody does not know you as a personal Lord and Savior or needs to come back and repent and get their life going straight on the altar of truth again, may they find you and rest in you, in your name. Amen. Why was David described as a man after God's own heart? David was not perfect. Listen, I know just like those sophomore boys we're talking about in that class, we don't get to read every bit of David's life all day. I love one of my favorite Psalms where David says, God, forgive me of the sin I didn't even realize I committed today. I just love that. Amen? I mean, think about if we could pray that prayer. Like, we're like, we know the sins we committed, right? But if you think, I had a really good day, I don't even remember sinning. Well, I know I did. So I want to be such a good place with God, I say, God, forgive me of what I don't even realize I did today. But when confronted with his sin, and he confessed and desired repentance to God, he said what? Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Have you ever hurt so bad? You ever had a wound that was just full of junk that you fall on the asphalt and just scrape it and all that junk's in there? And you know, boy, this is going to stink, but I need to flush it, right? Get all that stuff out of there. And then I need to put healing ointment on there, right? Does it hurt to flush? Absolutely. And you know it's going to hurt, but you know it's what is best. And it's the only thing that will bring the healing. Otherwise, it will become infected and could take your life, believe it or not. He is crying out, Psalm 5, 1 through 7, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me against you, and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Yes, he did hurt people, but who makes the rules? God. If I punch you in anger, yes, I hurt you, but who told me I couldn't punch you? God. He's the one who makes the rules. He's the one who gives me guidance and direction. He said, I have sinned against you, and I have tried to hide my sin so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Well, we know, amen, that that is going to be true because God is truth, amen. He's going to be blameless in his judgment. He's going to see it for what it is. That is part of our problem, right? Little rose-colored glasses that I have whenever I see OU sports. Sorry, Alex. It's crazy. I watched those OU ladies yesterday, and I'll be like, fourth inning, 7-1. Don't we? What in the world have we not run ruled them yet? What? I demand perfection. Am I right? Don't we do that? You ever catch yourself doing that? Can't get 1 yard on fourth and one. Are you kidding me? These are 20-year-olds killing each other. We got more stock in that, and we care more about that than whether or not our heart and our life is right. So David says, what? Behold, you delight in truth, an inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop, use the brush on what needed to be there for healing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's very, very clear. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All the other stuff, Nope. Just Jesus. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I say something to you? Some of you in here, you've confessed your sins. You've given them to God. Why are you still carrying them? Why are you still carrying them? He forgot about them a long time ago. Why are you still beating yourself up over them? Let's go back to David real fast. Whenever God told David that that baby was going to die, those of you who, by the way, if you haven't read this, really good story, go back and read it. When he told him the baby's going to die, what did he do? He begged. Begged God, don't take that baby. Not for what I did. He didn't deserve it. But God is a God who keeps his promises. In that instance, he did. Took it. David said, and remember what they say? They said, wait a minute, you've been like on your face, unable to get us to get you off the ground to eat, do anything for a week. And all of a sudden the baby dies. Which is what God said was going to happen. And he said, why were you like that? And now, and he said, I was trying to save a baby. But now, I can't do anything about that. Right? And remember, they were like, this guy's kind of weird. He just like jumps up and baby's dead. He jumps up and he's all good. And man after God's own heart, God said, forget about it. Get busy. I'm already going to do what I'm going to do. Right? But some of us, we wallow in our sin, in our struggle. When God says he's going to be with you, he's going to be with you. When God says he's going to get you through it, he's going to get you through it. And David jumped up and he began to get going again. Some of you in here, you need to get going again. And I don't mean coming to church. Church attendance is incredibly important. I'm a church member, believer, all of that. And I do all, I was late here. I was sitting at Sonic thinking I was on time. And tithing this morning. I was tithing when I was sitting at Sonic, right? Because I can tithe on my FBC app, right? My FBC lot naps. Guess what? That ain't going to be what really matters to God. That is my offering to him, but he wants way more than that. He wants my words. He wants my life when I walk out of the doors of this church. What did David cry out for? He cried out for restoration. He wanted to be restored again. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that have been broken hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. We knew God had given David the Holy Spirit, so he knew what it felt like. He did not want that spirit to be removed from him. It's not like you and I today. That Holy Spirit can't be removed from us. Amen? Praise God. Can't be. Because we are on this side of the cross. Thank you, God, that you've given me a comforter, a guide, a daily walking mate in this life. I love my wife, but she can't be my sustainer. I can't be her sustainer. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. One of my favorite things is to see a kid at Falls Creek who gives his life to Jesus Christ. Well, not just at Falls Creek, but it's kind of a special place. I was saved at Falls Creek, and I surrendered my life to ministry at Falls Creek. So it's kind of a special place to me. But when a kid gives his life to Christ, to see him drop off that backpack of sin and struggle that I'd seen him carry for so long. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Younger generation, hear me. You can walk right back home and you can pick that backpack up and try to carry it. And you got a Holy Spirit inside of you going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And you got this war that starts to go on. And you wonder why you have anxiety, struggle, pain. We're warring against something way bigger than ourselves that says, why are you going back to the pig pen and trying to eat that slop, throw up junk when I've given you everything to sustain you? David wanted to be used again. How do we know that David was a man after God's own heart? David longed to be used again. Verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God of my salvation, my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Verse 16, for you will not delight in sacrifice, and I would give it. You would not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God. Remember, this is a very, very wealthy king. He had plenty of really, really, really nice lambs. But can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? This offering right here is not what God wants. This is a product, should be a product of what happens when this is in the right place. And when this isn't the right place, God help us all. And David had forgot what was wrong. He got lazy, he got caught up in this world, and he became something God didn't create him to be. And the sin the Bible talks about that so easily entangled David in the web of lies. And I love, though, that he, what did he say? For you do not delight in the sacrifices, or I would give it. You do not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. If I have a broken heart, and if you know it, no fake tears, God knows. I love, though, the fact that when David looked inward and he got his heart right, what did he do? Randy, what do we need to do as pastors? What do we need to do as church members? cry out for the city. He said, too good to Zion and your good pleasure built up the walls of Jerusalem. You start caring about people outside yourself whenever you are right within yourself. And by the way, can I tell you something? A little mental health here. If you don't love you, no one's going to be good enough to love you. God loves you. Some of you, I've gone through a tough spell about a year and a half ago, and I'll never forget what had to happen. You guys know that song by Lauren Daigle? I am who you say I am. I bet I listened to that song 8 times a day during a little stretch. Because whenever life was coming at me and people were attacking me and I was going, God, why? It was because I was struggling, because I was believing that what you said about me mattered more than what he said about me. And when God knows your heart and he knows what you're doing, he's going to put you in the right place with the right people, and there will be struggle. The Bible says it, right? There will be struggle. It's not free. Yes, salvation's free, but what? He says what? Count it all joy, brothers, whenever what? Troubles come. They will come. And when they do, I'm right there. Don't forget, I got your back. My pastor that I sat with for 20-something years, there's one thing that he said over and over and over again that I say in counseling when I know that they're a Christian and they're professing to be a believer and they say, I can't. You know what I say to them? How big is your God? I'm going to say that to you again. How big is your God? Whenever you say one more time, I can't, how big is your God? He's delivered me from stuff I should not have been delivered from. Amen? Do you see why I love mental health now? I want to see God's people here. I want to see people who don't know God here. Because without that, we have no hope. We can live a life and we can come and we can celebrate a life. Randy, you do a lot of funerals, bro. I know you do. What are the ones we love? Whenever we say, if they had it, they'd have given it away. They loved God and they made no bones about it, and they didn't. They'd call us out. They'd call us out. What it comes down to is you're going to leave a legacy. But as my Casting Crowns friend said, what do they want for their legacy? I want them to see Jesus. Verse 19, then will you delight in the bright right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole offering, burnt offerings, then bulls will be offered on your altar again. What was that a signification of? We can go back to doing what you called us to do when we're right here. Do you recognize that you're broken today? Do you recognize that you're broken today? I'm going to tell you this. I'm in a church right now that God is doing all kinds of amazing things at First Baptist Lawton. My wife has just accepted a job in Newcastle, and we're going to be moving this summer up towards the city area. so I can expand to help expand and work as a managerial position in a program, but I'm not going to quit counseling because that's my heartbeat, but just doing some stuff on the side that with the Norman Behavioral Health Group. But ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? It ain't going to be easy to leave that church because God is reviving his people because sin is being called out. Lives are being changed. And that church is nothing like it was when I even started going there when I resigned from my church and started going there in January of 2022. Why? Because God's people are taking his call serious and they're getting their heart right. I want you to be able to pray for your city of Zion, for your family. This altar is going to be open. It's always open. Am I right, Randy? Always open. And the greatest thing I love to see is people come down and fall on their knees and just say, God, I know where I'm at. And I know where I need to be. And some of you, you might need some mental health. If I can't do it, so I'm not advocating for that. I'll try to point you somewhere where you can. If you got recurring issues and struggles, it's real. But what it comes down to is, how big is your God? He can show you hope and love and trust again. So let's pray. And my prayer is this, that there's movement in God's people today. God, thank you for who you are, for loving us. God, we don't deserve your love. We don't deserve anything from you. But God, just like that sacrifice on the cross, you gave it so freely. May you break us down and may we pray the prayer of David this morning. Just purge that sin from our life that is, we know is selfish. We realize our priorities are all out of whack, and that God, you want to do great things in us again, or maybe even for the first time. And somebody may have been here today because they were invited and they have the divine appointment today. Everyone in this room was called to be here today, and I pray that today, if we can hear your voice, we're willing to hear your voice, may we cry out to you, a Savior who's so sufficient, this world is not, for change, for courage. But God, as we're going to talk about today, we've got to be vulnerable. And we got to be willing to say, having you in our life, if it costs me everything, it's worth it. There is no hope without you. God, today, bring your people back home to you so that they can conquer the city that you've called them to live in. In your name.